Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Mac, I know that we are ageless and not to tip our hand to maybe how old we actually are, but graduation season is right around the corner, and this got me to thinking of, if you could go back in time, let's say 15-ish years, and talk to yourself, maybe as a freshman in high school, as you're getting going into life, what would you tell yourself? One piece, though. No more.
So our freshman year began in 2002, 2003, roughly.
I don't know.
In that area.
Three?
Yeah, maybe.
03, 04.
This is like this is a really layered question, actually, because you have the social, the like love interest stuff, and then the actual real life stuff.
Yeah.
Right. So like socially, I wouldn't change anything. I think I played that game pretty well.
Socially, I was perfect.
I wasn't perfect, but I did all right. Girls, I'd be a little more aggressive with, but I don't have too many regrets. Big time life stuff here. I think I would tell myself, because this is, you know, we grew up in the MySpace era, stick with that stuff. Coding, right?
I was going to say, stay with MySpace. Don't go beyond MySpace.
Everything you own, put it in MySpace. Whoever can code these days, they always have jobs.
Computer does coding for you now.
You'll have a job for eternity. But like, other than that, I think I would try to take up some sort of hobby like carpentry, woodworking, or auto repair. Something where I could be a little more useful than I currently am. Mm-hmm. I know small things in those fields, but I can't really do anything. And then like, moreover, all schools should do this anyways, but I should really know how to fucking build a credit score, how that shit works, things like that, that I had no clue until, I don't know, 10 years ago.
So you say 10 years ago. For me, that's 1 year ago, because I have always had a crippling fear of debt, so I have never had a credit card. And then when I went to go and, look at houses, they're like, no, 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 no. And I'm like, but I have monies. Do you want my monies? And they're like, no.
It's the dumbest system.
It's the dumbest system in the world.
So I was also pretty fiscally responsible like you were. I didn't get a credit card until I was out of college, because I knew in college, J-Mac would have spent all of the money and paid none of it back.
On boobs.
So I didn't get a credit card until I was 22 or 23. And I've got pretty good credit, but I also have the issue you have, and I'm building it for 10 years now. They tell me I still have kind of young credit. And so I just finally paid off my car loan last year, which helped big time. But I don't know, man. The whole credit score system is fucking stupid, which is why they need to explain it to you as early as possible.
When it comes to schooling, I think I played it right. Just don't do it. Just let it go, and things will sort themselves out.
Yeah.
Look where I am now.
Honestly, who gives a fuck how well you do in high school? You weren't going to Stanford, so who cares?
No. Be nicer, but only be nicer to the nice people, you know?
Yep.
Some people deserve a little love.
I didn't really have that issue. I was definitely a nicer teenager than you were.
I was a horrible teenager.
Yeah, that's good. We've kind of flip-flopped there.
And then before I get to the one that I'm going to say that I should have done, is I should have told myself, or I would tell myself, don't bother getting a queen-size bed. Just get a king-size bed.
I mean, I don't know, though. Like, when you're younger, your room's not that big. When you get your first apartment, your room's not that big. I've had a queen my whole life. I'm not complaining about a queen.
Don't invest in the queen, you know, mattress and the headboard and everything else. Prepare yourself in the future for a king or a Cali king.
Goo, a little peek behind the curtain here. Yeah. I will never own a headboard. If my lady friend
12?
Wants to have one, headboards are fucking useless. Useless, Goo.
They're for slamming heads into.
What does the headboard do?
Slamming heads into.
What does the headboard do?
It keeps the bed looking nice.
No, it does not.
It's a nice aesthetic.
A waste of space. You lose like 3 inches that you could be closer to the wall. It does absolutely nothing that the wall doesn't already do. Headboards are useless.
And then I think what I would do is I would hand myself a little cheat sheet and be like, hey, these are the girls that are not very attractive right now, but give them 5 years. Treat them nice now.
That's a real Back to the Future almanac thing. There were a lot of early investments that we could have made when we were like 15 and we didn't. We really fucked that up. But going back to my previous point about my social game, I was generally always nice to those folks. So I'm not going to say I'm dead in the water yet with them. I mean, 17 years later here, 18 years later here. I'm not going to say I'm dead in the water yet.
I would say that my ship has passed.
One, goo, three, yeah!
Mac and goo!
Jaws 3!
Mac and goo!
King of Queens!
Mac and goo!
Meryl Streep!
Mac, goo, and
entertainment!
I am goo!
And I'm Mac!
And we're the Mac and Goo program. We bring you friendship.
And today, we bring you 100% of the shots you don't take, you miss.
What we are doing is we are bringing you the science of Mac and Goo to tell you who is Michael Gary Scott's best character slash alter ego on The Office. Why are we doing this right now? Because I want to.
Yeah, Goo just said, hey, we should do this. I said, I'm not sure if there's enough. Let's do a little vetting. And you said, oh, there's definitely enough. And so here we are. This has absolutely no relevance to anything other than we love The Office. Mm-hmm. We love Michael Scott. I would argue pretty vehemently that he's the greatest television character of all time. Mm-hmm. That's an argument for another day. And within his show, Michael Scott's show, The Office, he does a number of characters, so much so that we've got 13-ish of his characters. There's definitely like 10 or 11. And then you could argue for a couple more. There's probably one or two more that we don't even talk about today that you could maybe say is on there. But that's a lot. And you know what it is? It's good enough for us to do a best in series of Michael Scott characters.
And before I hit that amazing theme song, that very brief theme song, I would just say off the top here, I believe there's going to be a clash of two that you'll pick up on very, very quickly, the two top ones. But then there are three or four that when you watch those clips or those episodes again, they really jump out to you. And the way that Steve Carell plays them, they are hilarious.
Yeah, to me, there's a definitive top three, and then you can argue who the fourth is for the Mount Rushmore. I think at the end of this, you know, exercise, we'll have a pretty clear top four. And if you've never heard us do a best in series, basically the idea is we've got a number of categories. Today there'll be eight, and we say this character was the best at this, this character was the worst at this, and we do a point system. The best gets 3 points, runner up gets 1 point, and vice versa. The worst, -3, second worst, -1. And we have a running tally. And at the end, whoever has the most points is definitively the greatest Michael Scott character.
No questions asked. That's it. And then something else that you might pick up on as well is that maybe as the show moved on a little bit further, the show, the sitcom, also relied a lot on Michael Scott characters, where maybe around season 6 is where you get this just avalanche of characters.
You know, if you're evaluating The Office, it's pretty clear that, to me, 3, 4, and 5 are the strongest. You can argue 2.
I would say 2, 3,
well,
and 4, but you're not far off.
For sure, 3 and 4.
Neither of us are far off. Right. We're almost in the exact same.
But what happens there, and this happens with all shows, the show tells its story in that first 4 or 5 seasons. And then they're sort of grasping for straws after that. And so they rely heavily on Michael Scott characters, really picking up in season 6. Play the theme, and then we'll run through the characters.
Speaking of that theme,
for thousands of years, many of question have plagued mankind.
What is the meaning of life?
Is there life after death?
What is the greatest Star Wars movie?
Are we in control of our lives?
Is there a best character on Science Town?
Will we be punished for our sins?
Who is the greatest Batman?
Now, the gruesome twosome do their damnedest to answer the unanswerable questions. This is Mac and Goo's Best in Series.
And having not heard that in so long, holy shit, is it long.
Obnoxious. It's obnoxious.
But does it come back around to be funny again?
It comes around at the very end there, just barely.
Wait for it.
Just barely.
No, there's like 15 questions there, maybe?
Yeah,
I was
thinking
like 3 or 4 questions. You could have gone and going.
You could have got the point across with 2 or 3 questions, and you went full goo there.
Did I leave the stove on? I don't know.
All right, Goo. Without further ado, let me run through the list of characters we have defined here, and then we'll get into the actual categories and what we're talking about. So the very first Michael Scott character we see is Ping. That's right, the extremely racist Ping, season 2, episode 1, The Dundies, where he hosts briefly The Dundies as Ping, and it doesn't age well, and this is, you know, no spoiler here, this is not going to do well in our exercise today. And then we have season 2, episode 9, Email Surveillance, where Michael goes to improv class, and we sort of get a little bit of a couple characters, but it's sort of the beginning of Michael Scarn. That's where we really get into Michael and his love for that sort of action, Bondish type of character. And then speaking of Michael Scarn, we get him in 4 or 5 different seasons. And so he's the one that picks up the most throughout the series. We get him season 2, 3, 4. And of course, we get Threat Level Midnight in season 7. And then going to season 3, we get Prison Mike, which is obviously probably the one that people know
you,
most.
My friend would be the Belle of the Ball.
Michael, stop.
We also get a character that I'd argue is not really a character. It's more of a character trait, is Michael's love for magic, Michael the Magic.
But he calls himself Michael the Magic.
Yeah. Season 3, episode 18, Cocktails. And it actually pops back up in the cold open of the season premiere of episode 7, or season 7. And then we get nothing in season 4, which might tell you season 4 is probably the best.
It's strong enough to not season. Need any characters.
Yeah. Yep. We get Michael Klump, which is in the weight loss episode, which is a great callback to the sumo suit from, I believe, season 3, the sumo suits are in.
It's an amazing callback.
And then we get Michael Wonka, also in season 5, the Golden Ticket episode.
Which I loved the first time watching, whenever it was. But on the rewatch, this is the one that stood out to me as the one that I missed as, you know, what should be a top 3 or top 4 character.
Right. That episode itself is supremely underrated because Michael is so gung-ho about replicating Gene Wilder's Willy Wonka, and then he does a complete 180, so then he's wearing shit clothes the whole time. He's trying to fuck Dwight up. It's a great episode.
That's too many words. Good ideas are simple.
In season 6, Goo, we get three of them. We get Blind Guy McSqueezy,
which it's tough. It's not
it's
the
lazy.
Best, but the only reason why it's funny is Dwight's reaction to him.
That's what makes it. Yeah.
Because Dwight acts like a baby when he's like,
And you know, Dwight helps a lot of these along because even in the Prison Mike one, he says, "Hey, Prison Mike," and asks him a question, calls him Prison Mike, which absolutely kills me. We get Caleb Crawdad in the murder episode, which is like purposely way over the top. I think I like it a lot more than you do.
So my issue with it is I think this is one of those, it's not a shark jumping episode, but it's one that makes you question the show, like where it's going.
There's a lot of good pieces from that episode.
Well, the best piece from that episode is Gerbil City, or Hamster City, with the tubes all in the office. That's the best cutaway. That is almost a Family Guy joke. That's how stupid it is.
The standoff at the end is pretty good, too.
Nah.
And then we get Date Mike in the Happy Hour episode, which a lot of people would say is the best or the second best.
Hi, I'm Date Mike. Nice to meet me.
What I like about Date Mike is it's actually a lot of what his character was in season 1. It's a lot like the Ricky Gervais office sort of vibe there. So he didn't have to do much for that. And then in season 7, we get Santa Bond in a two-parter. And that's really just Date Mike in Santa form. So to me, I sort of give Date Mike credit for Santa Bond, but it's a new and improved Date Mike, really. Mm-hmm. And also in season 7, we get Mykonos in Andy Bernard's seminar episode, and then Orville Tuttenbacher. So that in total is 13.
Tuttenbacher does not make an appearance, but the concept of Tuttenbacher is fantastic.
Yeah. That's in the episode The Search. It's just mentioned. Yeah. He doesn't actually dress up as a character. So you could argue maybe that doesn't count. But we have at least 10 or 11 here definitively. And total, actually, what we're talking about today will be 13 of them.
All right, Mac, what I'm going to do here is let's start off with the most quotable of the characters. And let's go with worst first. And the runner-up for me is Mykonos. And
oh, this was my runner-up.
This is your runner-up.
Have one.
What
yeah,
is
you
my
didn't
runner-up?
Have a, you didn't have a runner-up.
I will fill in the blank here for you. I don't know why I just thought that I wrote this. I'm like, did I write this earlier? But so Mykonos does have the one funny line. So he is from Greece, and he says, In my country, the musical Grease is just called Musical or something like that.
I don't even. So I gave him the runner up here because I don't remember a single thing he says in that episode. I remember the character. I remember him dressed up as the character. I don't remember a single line of dialogue, but that line you just said actually made me laugh. But minus one to Mykonos, runner up.
Minus three goes to Ping. And I'm not saying that what Ping doesn't say is funny, because the character, like what Michael brings to the table right there, is what they used to do at award shows in, you know, the 1950s, 1960s. And even at the time where this episode comes out, it is completely out of taste. And now it's even worse. But it's something that you should not quote to anybody.
Yeah, we'll double that up. It's a minus three from Will, minus six total. It just ages so poorly. And there's nothing really that compares to this from the Michael Scott characters. Yeah. Like Blind Guy McSqueezy is a bad character, but it's not a racist character. So that's a whole other level. The one thing I'll say is, Ping is totally a character that Michael Scott would find funny.
It's also so effective in what it's trying to do and how everyone else plays off it. And how, you know, someone else at, is it the Chili's? Yeah, someone at the Chili's looks over and they're like, what is he doing?
Right. There's like an Asian girl sitting like right behind them or something.
Yeah. So negative six to
negative
Ping
six
there.
For Ping.
Ping's
hot
off
start.
To a hot start right now. Next up here, and let's go to some honorables first for the most quotable. This is positive points here, but no points for these ones here. And that is that Michael Klump.
Positive points, but no actual points.
The points don't matter. Whose line is it anyways? Michael Klump. I shit on you.
Yep. Yep. It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. One line and it's perfect.
I don't love Caleb Crawdad, but I do declare.
That's all he's got.
He got. And then Improv Mike does have, I have a gun.
And the best part, the best delivery is you don't even actually hear him say it. He whispers into, what's his name? Leslie Chow.
Okay.
The Hangover guy. That guy. He's the one in the improv class with him. What's his name?
It's not Leslie Chow. It's
no, it's not. He played
Ken
Leslie
Jeong.
Chow. Ken Jeong.
Yeah.
He whispers into Ken Jeong's ear, and Ken Jeong puts his hands up.
Yeah.
And the teacher's like, what did he just say? He told me he had a gun.
So 1 point I want to give to Date Mike, who, just for the simple line, and not only just the line, but the way that he says it.
Hi, I'm Date Mike. Nice to meet me.
The inflection on how he says, nice to meet me. Is
and
so
he's looking
funny
at the camera too, and nice to meet me. Like he does an eyes thing too. Yeah. It's absolutely perfect. So I agreed with you here. This was my runner up, and it's such a simple yet brilliant line because it's
I'm
so
Dave
narcissistic.
Nice to meet me.
It's the way that he
so
delivers it though. It's so good.
It's so narcissistic, and it's exactly what that character is. It defines that character. Where like that's a little bit of the difference between that and say Prison Mike is like. There's no quote from Prison Mike that like makes you think, okay, that's what the character would be. But Date Mike in one line, you know exactly what the character
is. I think there's like five lines from Prison Mike, and that's why Prison Mike is
that
getting
funny,
3 points.
But
these are hilarious, so quotable lines.
It's not the same thing as like defining the character.
You, my friend, would be the belle of the ball.
And just the way everyone in the office plays off him, and they're kind of playing along, and you know everyone's like, don't play along with him. So it's like that back and forth. But then there's like three or four in there that are just so funny.
The worst thing about prison was the Dementors. They were flying all over the place, and they were scary, and then they come down, and they suck the soul out of your body, and it hurt.
What do you eat in prison?
Gruel sandwiches. Gruel omelets. Nothing but gruel. Plus... you can eat your own hair.
And I would contest that is the funniest addition to a joke that just drives it home, where you're like, okay, gruel, 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 and you eat your own hair.
I so desperately need the opposite facing camera there. The camera behind Michael watching everyone break during that scene. Because I don't know how many times you can shoot that without people totally losing it. So there's a lot of close-ups of him, and you can see the tops of people's heads. But that it would be incredible to just see like the 15 people in the room absolutely losing it when he says that. And then I love that Jim keeps talking him around in the circle. He's like, where did you learn that? And he says, the internet. He's like, oh, so you didn't go to prison.
And then Jim's face when he says this.
And I never got caught neither.
Like to me, you know, outside of that 3-minute stress relief scene, this might be the funniest scene in the whole history of the show.
So I would say that for
it's so funny.
For one character, like being one character driven, this is the funniest scene. Because it's the stress relief with the
every character
hits it perfectly.
Yes.
This one is everyone playing off of Michael, but it's so much Michael.
And it's so funny.
It's funny.
It's not even like you like chuckle. You outright belly laugh every time you watch this scene. It's fucking perfect. It's so good. So I agree. It's Prison Mike, 6 points.
All right, Mac, let's move on to which of his characters could have gotten his own spinoff. And let's go with best first. So simple concept here. Which character could you pluck off the show and say 22 minutes, just this one character, Michael playing this character, how much would you watch?
Yeah.
So I would say that runner up, I would go with Date Mike, because I think that you could get a couple of episodes out of this before it starts to wear a bit thin.
He's so genuinely unlikable that it would be really hard to keep that character. Like, we see a Michael Scott similar to that in season one of The Office, and it's only 6 episodes, right? Or maybe 7 episodes. And I don't think we would have been able to take much more of that.
Yeah, but it would also be Michael acting like an asshole for like 15 minutes and then apologizing for the next 6 minutes.
Right, right. Yeah, if he were able to pull it back, the curb thing, right? Curb recipe there. Larry's a dickhead, got to apologize. Dickhead, got to apologize. It's that never-ending cycle, and it works for Curb. But Larry's not as over-the-top as Date Mike is, and even though Larry's a pretty over-the-top character.
Yeah.
So I say Michael Wonka is the runner-up here because there's already something there, right? You already have that Wonka universe, that factory. I think it'd be really easy to write that character into a Wonka-esque world, right? Like a fucked up Wonka. Everyone else is sort of like The Office.
Yeah.
Everyone else flows properly, except Wonka keeps getting in their way. The show writes itself. I don't know if it would be that good, but it writes itself.
So both of them get 1 point. And then for 3 points, I am once again going back to Prison Mike. And what I would love is a prequel of him actually in prison and dealing with all those situations. Seeing him eating the gruel and the hair.
So you want Let's Go to Prison 2, Michael Scott?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough sell. To me, this was the easiest question to answer because it's obviously Michael Scott. Like, his character is the one that pops up the most throughout The Office. So it's the one that Michael's dedicated to, and it's the one we're most familiar with. So I think it's the one that the fans would put up with the most. I don't know how much you could do, but it's really easy to write those crime spy dramas with an idiot spy person, you know? It just works.
So here's my issue, is I love the table read of Threat Level Midnight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love the episode Threat Level Midnight, and it might be because it came out right after It's Always Sunny did their Lethal Weapon stuff. So it felt like
posters above me.
Yeah. So it felt like, you know, the low budget, everyone acts terribly, that type of spoof had already been done, and The Office jumped on it a little too late. And I don't love the Threat Level Midnight production.
Yeah, but it wasn't like it came out of nowhere. They were setting it up.
No, I'm aware of that. And I love the table read of it. It's just that the actual production was my favorite.
And to that point, though, I could very easily see a sitcom-y type show with that character. It doesn't have to be so over the top like Threat Level Midnight script is.
Mm-hmm. All right, so then for worst,
That's 3 points for Prison Mike, 3 points for Scarn.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Here we go now. Minus 1 point for worst. The character that would have the worst spinoff show, and maybe one that could actually have one, would be Caleb Crawdad. I just wouldn't want to see it.
Yeah, I didn't have one for runner-up here, because to me, there was only one that fit in this category.
Heads
so
up, guys. We
it.
Don't fill out the entire sheet. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, if you don't feel like
filling
it out, you don't fill it out.
Yeah, if you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. So then we go with the worst, and I'm going to go with a -3 to Ping. Once again, respecting what, you know, what that joke is and how it's a bad spoof on the 1950s, but beyond the initial joke, you can't go for more than the 15 seconds that we got on the show.
Yes, but I say to that, there is a show there. A guy that finds a racially insensitive impression funny. There's a show.
Okay,
that's a show.
So
it's not a
you
good
just
one.
Say that? It is a show. It's a comedian who keeps on complaining about cancel culture.
There you go.
Perfect.
It's there.
Everyone's trying to get me on the internet. I don't get why.
Ping is still terribly offensive, and I wouldn't watch the show, but there's something there.
Yeah.
To me, like, as bad as Ping is, you could sort of make that character maybe endearing. He doesn't understand why people don't understand. But Blind Guy McSqueezy could never work. It would never work. It's an SNL 2-minute skit. That's it. That's all
it
you
have. It barely worked for
no
2 minutes.
More.
It barely
yeah,
worked
no
for 2 minutes.
There's no more there.
The that's only it. Thing that's kind of funny about it is that he changes the backstory about how he got blind. So maybe you could play with that. Every episode he's blind right. for a different reason.
Every episode there's a new backstory. Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad.
So I guess we do want that sitcom. The minus so points are off the board.
-3 to Ping, -3 to McSqueezy.
All right, Mac, the most creative of Michael Scott's characters, and one would argue none of them are really that creative. And let's go with worst first here.
I said Blind Mike McSqueezy, -1. You said Michael the Magic, -1. But I will say, I actually think it was a bit of a missed opportunity with Michael the Magic. It's something they could have brought up more throughout the series and actually kind of made it work, his love for magic, and he's terrible at it. Because the Houdini stuff is fucking hysterical. They could have done more bits like that, and they didn't.
And then for the least, we got Ping.
Another -3 to Ping, -1 to Michael the Magic.
So now let's go with the most creative of the Michael Scott characters and the runner-up. I have one that was not really seen. It was mentioned once, and that is an eccentric billionaire who farts popcorn, Orville Tootenbucker.
I don't know what you find creative about that, but it gets 1 point. 1 point to Orville Tootenbucker.
My wife likes to talk after sex, so she called me from a hotel room, said, "I don't respect you."
That's not an Orville Tootenbucker quote. It just made me laugh earlier, so...
I gave my runner-up point to Santa Bond because I think that's a really funny idea for a character. And he sort of evolved Date Mike, right? He reintroduces mm-hmm. Date Mike with the Kangol, but the Santa hat. I need a Santa hat like that, by the way. I would love to find a Kangol Santa hat.
We can just make you one.
It works wonderfully.
Mm-hmm.
Like him in the tighter Santa garb, trying to be a sexy Santa. It's fucking hysterical. The Kangol hat is everything, though, so that was 1 point for me.
And let me go on to the best. A +3 here, and we both had Michael Scarn. And it's not mm-hmm. just for that one character. It's the world that was built around him.
He builds a whole entire world. He writes a whole script for this character. So it wasn't one of the characters like Prison Mike, for example. Michael Klump probably took him 5 minutes to come up with. Scarn, he spends his whole life working on it. So... it's not super creative, the idea of the character, but what he does in that world is super creative.
So now let's move on to the importance to the plot of an episode. This is specific to one episode.
I didn't interpret it that way. You didn't explain it to me.
Well, so if we have one that's important to the show, and we have one that's important to the plot of an episode.
I thought you meant plot of like The Office, the whole thing.
It works either way. Whatever you put is sure. fine. I respect sure. your choice.
Yeah.
So, runner-up here, I have Michael Wonka because this did set up the Michael Scott Paper Company. And that was a great 3-episode stretch.
Yeah, it leads him down that path there because then David Wallace is trying to figure out what the fuck is going on.
Yep.
I have Date Mike because Date Mike is essentially all of season 1 Michael balled up into one narcissistic asshole. And then I also say plus Santa Bond is essentially Date Mike. So, Date Mike's actually pretty important to The Office. And... moreover, Date Mike does end up landing a lady at the end of that episode, which leads to a couple more episodes.
And then the importance of the plot of one episode slash 2 episodes, really, and you have to go with Michael Scarn, just for the sheer volume of the character being used.
Yeah, it's sort of an unfair category to the rest of them because Scarn shows up so much more than the other ones, and Threat Level Midnight is its whole episode. It's just dedicated to that character in that movie.
Let me go to the worst, the least valuable to an episode, and you would go with the runner-up. I believe that I had Blind Guy McSqueezy.
Yeah, I don't know who did what here. We have Blind Guy McSqueezy and
Michael
the Magic.
I feel like I could have done either one.
I also could have done either one. But my point I was trying to make above when I thought we were in this category is I look at Michael the Magic as a missed opportunity, which is what, I did do Michael the Magic as my minus one because they could have written that into more episodes and they didn't. And maybe they didn't creatively couldn't find something, but I don't know. Michael trying to do all of the iconic like Houdini tricks would have been pretty funny, and they just never did that.
And then you put for the worst, I don't believe I had a worst, and you put Orville Tutenbacher.
No, you put this, and I said nailed it. You put Orville Tutenbacher, I said nailed it.
Oh, that's right, because he was only mentioned.
Yeah, he was only mentioned. He's not central to anything. He's just a fart in the wind.
A fart with popcorn in the wind. The next one up is the most cringy / the most difficult for us to watch at home. And really, when looking back at this, it's not that tough. Like, there's no Scott's Tots type of thing where you're like, I can't watch this character.
Yeah. So, first of all, there's no best worst here. It's just cringy is cringy.
Yeah.
The runner ups here, you had Michael the Magic, which I think is fair because after the Houdini stuff, they do the like the bird wand thing and it's not great.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it felt like they could have done a better job with that. I have Blind Guy McSqueezy just on the sheer fact that I don't think that's ever going to work. It's like super lazy. And the only reason it gets over is because of Dwight's reaction.
It's all about Dwight. It's all about Dwight.
Right, right. So I just felt like that was lazy.
My minus three, and this is only because he carried almost an entire episode, and this episode just isn't great, and that is Caleb Crawdad.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's a whole episode's worth. So if you're weighing, you know, volume there and you don't like that character, it's tough to watch that episode. To me, it's almost the opposite. Ping. Ping's only there for 10, 15 seconds, but it's like clearly the most overtly racist thing in the whole run of The Office.
Yes.
So it's tough to watch.
Well, hold up. There's a lot of stuff that Michael says, you know.
Absolutely.
Quoting Chris Rock. And then one thing that was actually cut from the show, not cut from the show, the episode where for Michael, when he goes as Daryl for Halloween, if you watch, there's a little speck of brown on his neck, meaning that he was debating going blackface.
Yeah, it makes sense. And this is my thing with Ping too. Like, it's definitely something Michael would find funny, but like imitating a person is different than making up your own racist character, right? It's a little different, which is why I have Ping here for the minus three. You have Crawdad for the minus three.
Mac, next one up here is the most consequential to the series. And I think you interpreted the other one as this, but I think this is a character that changed the series based off what they did and then how the other characters kind of bounced off him. So runner up to me would be Michael Wonka, just because we then got 3 to 4 episodes of Michael with the Michael Scott Paper Company. And you once again, because they would do this every once in a while where they would show that Michael was actually brilliant.
Yeah, so that's essentially what Michael Wonka does, right? It ends up being a brilliant idea because it helps Dunder Mifflin tenfold. But because Michael gets so afraid, he doesn't actually get any credit for it. And it goes down this path, which ends up leading into the Idris Elba episodes of the Michael Scott Paper Company. So that's pretty consequential. They spend a third of a season on that.
Michael is so good at his own company, eventually, that he is able to then strong hand Dunder Mifflin into taking him in.
Right. When he's back to the wall, he's actually good. And the quote behind me, those are from the Michael Scott Paper Company episodes when they have the office in the closet downstairs.
So then I would say the plus three for consequential, and maybe this is a character that everyone has forgotten. He didn't show up a ton, but Prison Mike got Devin to quit.
I don't know if that's the one that
No, it's not Devin. It's the other guy. The guy that was in jail.
Yeah, no, Devin's the one he fires over Creed. I think that's in season 2 or 3. And then Prison Mike is obviously season 3 as well. I forget the name of that guy. But yeah, Prison Mike is obviously, he's trying to do something there. He's trying to make that happen. To me, the 3 points is Date Mike, because he ends up with a romance with Donna that lasts a little bit. And Date Mike is also sort of like a perfect encapsulation of everything Michael does wrong with women. He thinks you have to be overtly sexual and, you know, really aggressive. And then a big part of this show, right, is Michael finding love.
Martin.
And how does he do it?
He gets Martin to quit.
That was the guy's name.
Yes.
Yeah. And how does he find love? It's the opposite of Date Mike, right? He's just friends with a girl who's similar to him, and he almost fucks it up. Jim tries to stop him from fucking it up. He tries to go date Mike-ish, but that's why I think date Mike is most consequential, because it's a perfect encapsulation of what's wrong with Michael. And a big part of this show is like Michael fixing his wrongs.
Hi, I'm date Mike. Nice to meet me.
Every time. Next one up here is the category of which of his characters made his coworkers squirm the most. Because this was always one of the best part about the characters, was how everyone else played off him. Whether they liked it, whether they were playful with him, or whether they were like, please stop. So I would say that runner up for making his coworkers squirm would be Blind Guy McSqueezy.
No, you had Santa Bond.
I feel like that's wrong.
Yeah, you had Santa Bond. I put Blind Guy McSqueezy because he's an actual pervert. Yeah. He's an actual pervert. And every woman in the office, except for probably Meredith, was super, super squirmed by that.
And then we go with the best, a +3 for both of these. And I went with Ping once again, because just the reaction in the restaurant of everyone around him being like, what is he doing? Make him stop.
Right, right. And that's exactly what that character's supposed to do. So we understand why that character was written there. Like, the first half of season two still has a Michael that's a lot like the season one Michael. And eventually, towards the end of season two, he turns into the character we know and love. I have Michael Klump as the +3 here, because Holly is downright horrified by the character.
Yeah.
And moreover, there's quite a few fats in the office. So I'm sure they weren't too keen on Michael Klump.
And like, you might be thinking, well, maybe Prison Mike, but enough people in the office played along with Prison Mike that it
wasn't.
Yeah,
they all pretty much found it somewhat comical.
So then this next one is actually our final one, and this should have been a little bit higher up. I don't know why this is our last one, but this is the big capper at the end.
Last.
This is the big finale here, and that is the funniest physical act. And we say physical act because Steve Carell is one of the best physical comedians, not just, you know, what he does with his body, but also how he contorts his face. Because there are certain things that he does with his face that just completely sells a joke.
Parkour.
And I would say that the runner-up for physical comedy would be Michael Wonka. And it's just how he perfectly thinks he encapsulates Gene Wilder.
Yeah, I agree completely. So he gets 2 points for this. The best part about the character is he has no idea that there was a book before the movie.
Yeah.
He just knows of the Gene Wilder movie. And so he tries to do like the little spin, and he's tapping things with the cane. And it's absolutely brilliant to watch a doofus try to replicate that. That's exactly what this is here.
And before we get to our number one, just a quick shout out to Mike the Magic. Obviously, I don't love it, but the way that he's able to contort his body and try and, you know, pull his arm out, that's very, very good.
Yeah.
Michael Klump is funny, the way that he, you know, holds his body up, trying to be a little bit heavier. Prison Mike, and this is specific to his face. His
I mean, there's that still
so
of him with the purple
funny
bandana that it's just, it's absolutely iconic.
It's so funny. And then Michael Skarn is also good.
Yeah, Michael Skarn, him trying to, I almost put it as best or runner up, but it just missed out for me, is him checking I think that's the character Toby plays, him skating in Threat Level Midnight.
Yeah,
doing some sort of bullshit on the ice there is pretty good.
And then my number one, the character's getting 3 points from me, 3 points from you as well. And mm-hmm. This is specific to one, not a cutaway, but a cut two of Michael on a pool table playing the air guitar with a pool stick. And that is with date Mike. So first time I watched it, funny. And when I went back and watched these again, that made me laugh more than anything else.
Yeah, I like it for the scene like 30 seconds or a minute before that. When he first comes back into the restaurant, Jim's about to hit a shot, and he just grabs the pool cue and hits the ball, and it blasts off the table.
Hey, Mike, we hit the white balls first.
And he acts like it was supposed to happen. It's fucking hysterical. That like 2 or 3 minute scene is as good physically as the Prison Mike stuff is verbally.
All right, Max, so that is it for the categories, and I believe that you did the math?
Yeah, we did the math here, and I'll start out at the bottom here. Ping came in with a -12, pretty predictable. You sort of figured he was going to come in last. Second to last, Orville Tuttenbacher, -5, and he's in a clump of characters here. Blind Guy McSqueezy, -4. Caleb Crawdad, -4. Michael the Magic, -3. Mykonos, a -1 for me. Improv Mike Goo, who was sort of fringe anyways. We didn't give him anything plus or negative, so null, nothing, zero. Mm-hmm. Santa Bond, +2. And the nice thing about this, we had 13 characters, 6 negative, 6 positive, 1 at 0.
Perfect.
Santa Bond had 2 points. Michael Klump, 3. And starting our Mount Rushmore, we've got Michael Wonka with 6 points. And then out way ahead is a 3-dog race that if we had changed any of our top answers, any of these 3 might have been number 1. Prison Mike finishes 3rd with 12 points.
That's the best one!
Not by math and goo.
The worst thing about prison was the Dementors. They were flying all over the place, and they were scary, and then they come down, and they suck the soul out of your body, and then hoit!
I'm already contesting this list!
You came up with the categories. What happened here is I valued how much more Date Mike played into the whole show, and your categories gave the number 1 pretty much to Michael Skarn at 15 points. Date Mike was number 2 at 13 points.
But they also insisted upon Michael Skarn more than anything else. And Mike,
I mean, that's part of it. That's definitely part of it. Number 1.
I hate it.
15. Michael
Skarn, I don't like it.
I don't mind it. That's the top 3 clearly.
Because I would have Skarn 4.
Yeah, I'd have Skarn 3 for sure.
I would personally go Prison Mike, Date Mike, Michael Wonka, and then Michael Skarn.
I have it Date Mike, Prison Mike, Skarn, Wonka.
That's gross. I don't know what we just did. We just ruined this. I'm not going to post this episode. Not that iTunes would let me anyways.
What you should have done, you usually do this too. I don't think you realized that a couple of the categories you made were very clear, like Skarn winners. You usually throw a couple in there that are clear winners for the guy you want to win. You didn't do that this time.
Let's get into Maxack. And Maxack could be anything, and this week it could be a boat. By the way, head over to Twitter and social medias, Facebook, Instagram, wherever you are. Tell us your Mount Rushmore of Michael Scott characters. Tell us what you thought of our list and how dumb we are, because we fucked it up. Mac, this week in Maxack, I just want to shine a little light on the fact that I have released a Sweet Baby of the Year shirt that is on tpublic.com. So if you have a child or a baby, get this or you don't love them.
You know what we can do at the end of the year too? If enough people actually buy Baby of the Year onesies,
yeah,
we can have a contest.
I think we have
bracket, a bracket of Babies of the Year, and we'll define a Baby of the Year.
I have watched the trailer for season 2 of I Think You Should Leave 100 times.
We can do a best in series of Babies of the Year.
We might have to do that in December. And also, I think Billy, I know that Billy's listening right now. The first Billy, mm-hmm. Not the other Billy, but this Billy. I think we can corner the market on I Think You Can Leave merch.
I think you should leave. Yeah.
What did I say?
We could. You put a could.
I think you should leave.
Yeah. If Billy's up for it, we should definitely pump these shirts out and people will buy them. Those are like the perfect TeePublic Etsy sort of things. The other shirt that Billy made this week that is on the TLDR page is Heroes Don't Do That, mm-hmm. which is, of course, a great quote with a nice little, you know, lawsuit-free bat on it, which I've already bought. TLDR posted it. I've already purchased it. So that'll be here next week.
So you'll wear that on Mondays, and then you'll wear your Muff Diver shirt on Tuesday. All right, guys. Hey, Mac, if you made it to this point on the podcast, send us a GIF of your favorite Michael Scott character. Where can you find us? And keep in mind, still not on Apple Podcasts.
You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Mac and Goo Podcast. They do not allow ampersands on every other platform. We are Mac ampersand Goo. That's Mac Shift 7 Goo. It includes Facebook, Stitcher, TuneIn, CastBox, Spreaker, Google Play, iHeartRadio. Spreaker is the big one I would recommend, especially now that Apple Podcasts is fucking us.
They really are.
Completely.
They literally, 10 days in, just filled out a ticket. Are you kidding me?
So apparently our Apple Podcast feed is going to be backed up for probably another week or so, and then maybe you'll get it all back. If you feel like leaving a review on that bullshit app website,
it does
help us. Get over there, subscribe to us, rate us, review us, 5 stars. If you do that, at some point, the gabagoo.
Really soon. Okay, look, everyone's upset. T-shirt. Everyone's pissed. You're going to get the shirts eventually. I have them right here.
Sure.
I don't go to the post office right now because my hours of work is very odd. But as soon as I'm able to mail these out, I'll get these shirts to you.
There you go. And again, rate, review, subscribe, 5 stars. on Apple Podcasts. If you do that, Google gets you a free t-shirt from the folks over at Watertown Sportswear. That's Watertown Sportswear on 34 Mount Auburn Street in Watertown. The website is watertownsportswear.com. Watertown Sportswear, expert screen printing and embroidery.
tpublic.com, merch. I don't know what we're going to do next week. I know that we do have some movies coming up, though. Black Widow. And then I guess that's it.
What's Black? Is that the first week of July? Is that Black Widow?
I'll tell that dog to stop barking, number one. And then, stop it. We're recording. Okay. It is the, it's the week of the 4th of July. So after the 4th. So it'd be the Friday after the 4th.
Because the 4th is a Sunday.
Yeah. So it's the Friday. So it's the 9th, question mark?
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yep. So second week of July, Black Widow.
You better
Widow.
Get that screener.
And that's, yeah, I hope so. Yeah. I hope so. Because I'd like to see that in theaters. The early returns of the critics that saw it super early says it's like the best action of any of the MCU movies.
I'm in on that.
We'll see. It's supposed to be a really, really good action-y, thrilling movie, and I hope that's the case. I have a feeling Scarlett and Florence Pugh are going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little worried about how they sort of build the rest of that world around her, but whatever. We'll see. We're a week away.
And also, just one more final thing on the Apple Podcast, and you recommended Spreaker, which is great because the podcast instantly goes up there. It's always available.
Spreaker is great. I listen on Spotify now,
yeah, I was gonna say,
back on YouTube.
I like Spotify. I checked
Spotify
out the interface there. I checked out the app. Spotify is great. Spotify is awesome.
Is unbelievable. Yeah. Spotify is awesome. And Spotify, because they're smart, because to listen to music, you use your ears. To listen to podcasts, you use your ears. So keep on the same fucking app. I don't know what Apple's doing splitting that shit up. It still pisses me off, but whatever. Now I'm a Spotify premium member. Apple lost my money.
Tuesdays are Goose Days. I abuse kangaroos.
Bye.
I don't have the end theme song, so I'm going to play this instead.
Play us out.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.